My guest today is a first-generation farmer. The genesis of his desire to become a farmer came through some online schoolwork he'd done through Olds College of Agriculture and Technology. He and his wife had a small hobby farm years ago, done the course. This inspired them both to dive in deep, and man, did they ever. Sit back, settle in, learn about farming, food production, and more. Welcome to Shift. Today, I've got Ryan Greer from Whispering Cedars Ranch, and we're going to talk about all sorts of stuff here at AgSmart. So, Ryan, why don't you just dive in and tell me a little bit about Whispering Cedars Ranch, what you and your wife are doing. We'll kind of go through that. We'll talk about some of the work you're doing with the Central Alberta Regional Innovation Network. Yeah, and that sort of thing. Your role as an entrepreneur, your journey.
Absolutely. No, and I appreciate the opportunity. So Jan and I started farming in 2013. I guess an ironic shout out being at AgSmart is I took the Rural Finance and Entrepreneurship Certificate through Olds College.
Oh, okay.
And the outcome of that was the final project was a business plan. And so my wife and I had just recently moved to 3 acres just outside of Strathmore, and we had 10 sheep mowing the lawn out front. I had no clue what I wanted to do.
Okay.
And I looked and said, you know what? Why don't I just do the business plan on sheep? I don't really know what I want to do.
I'm
doing a sheep operation. So I just saw them out the window. I'm like, okay, that's what we're going to do. And so that's where the story began. And back in 2012, 2013, we got started. The old saying, 2 sheep turn to 10, 10 turn to 80. And
all that old saying.
So we started with a few, and then we ended up having an opportunity to buy what we call our nucleus flock, which was a group of purebred Riados out of Saskatchewan.
Okay.
And that was the beginning of it all. And so we've grown to about 600 ewes.
Holy cow.
And obviously not still on the 2 acres or 3 acres. We moved just east of Strathmore, Alberta.
Okay.
And that's kind of our home ranch. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the cool connections here at AgSmart is being first-generation farmers, it was important for us to diversify.
Well, sorry, let me stop you there. You're a first-generation farmer.
First-generation farmer, my wife and I.
Okay. Yeah. And where are you originally from?
We're both originally from Vancouver Island.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually just got in from Vancouver Island at 1 a.m. this morning.
Oh, boy. All right.
Made the way up here. So.
Wow. Okay. So, sorry about that. You got your nucleus flock, which, by the way, what is a nucleus flock?
Just for us, it was that original flock. It had 9 years of records.
Okay.
And it was a purebred. So, we had multiple different lines within that flock that we were able to build off of.
Wow,
so,
okay.
You know, it was pretty rare at that time. We were looking around. We're like, how are we going to buy, you know, a large volume of sheep?
Right.
Let alone how are we going to buy a purebred group of sheep with different lines that we can start to build off of. And so we had that really cool opportunity, perfect timing, and that's what got us started. And we've been able to keep those lines and add to them over the years to continue to build our flock.
And now your flock is in excess of 600.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. And I know I cut you off mid-story. You probably can't remember where you were at.
Yeah.
But we'll kind of meander through this conversation because I'm utterly fascinated with... So you're Vancouver Island, you and your wife. You come out to Olds. So what drew you to Olds, Alberta, in the first place?
Ironically, I didn't... So I did it actually online.
Okay.
I was working full-time.
Okay.
I'm a power line technician by trade. And at the time, I don't know how familiar you are, but you get your red seal in the trades, and then you can pursue a blue seal, which is business competencies.
Okay.
And for me, it was like, okay, how cool would it be to do business competencies, to get my blue seal, but also overlap a little bit with agriculture, which we were just a hobby farm on the side. And so that's where the two came together and outspat this business plan for a sheep farm. And... You know, again, being young and naive, you know, numbers look good. It's like, let's do this. And, there's been lots of trials and tribulations along the way, but what
sure.
An amazing journey it's been.
Wow. And I'm just, because to kind of essentially teach yourself farming, not having that background, And, you know, I've always thought of, and most people have thought of, think of farmers as entrepreneurs. It's amazing to me that you find this, you decide you're going to do this based on an online educational program you're taking. You have a hobby farm at the time, and you go, let's do this business plan. So you create a business plan. What was the business plan all about?
It was basically just, you know, what would the growth look like? What would the capital investment look like to get to a farm that ideally, you know, my wife and I could both be off farm, or sorry, not need to work off farm and create like a
so that was secondary income or anything. Exactly. So you're focused, you're both full-time farmers.
And that was the initial kind of intent and draw to it, was like, what would it take? Like, it was more of an exercise of, you know, let's see what this would take. And of course, like I said, alluded to, there's been lots of changes in the market, both for the land prices, for feed sure. prices, and that's where we've needed to diversify. But you know, it was a shared journey. My wife's been an incredible part of it. She was a nurse by trade.
Okay.
And so, what's been so cool is not only has it allowed us to continue to grow our land base and jump into farming further, but we have two little guys now.
Okay.
You know, the journey continues, and my wife's, you know, really taking the opportunity to focus on the farm and the kids and not need to work off farm, which was always the original goal.
Right.
So we're kind of just getting there now. So it's been amazing to see that, you know, I joke we're 10 years into a 7-year business plan, but it's still given that opportunity for her to take it and run with it. And, you know, we hope to see the kids want to be active participants in it. And we've already seen them in there pulling lambs at 4 years old and wanting
wow.
to be part of it. It's been incredible to see come to fruition, because
yeah.
it was 10 years ago, it was an idea.
No kidding. And that's, you know, that's so inspirational when you think about that. You took this idea, this germ of an idea, and now here you are, 600 plus ewes. Do you call them head of sheep, or is that just for cattle?
No, a head of sheep.
Head of sheep.
I've had that question a couple times today. It's funny.
Okay.
It's flock instead of herd. That's the big one.
Of course,
That's
flock of sheep. Yes, of course. Murder of crows, flock of sheep, herd of cows. Yeah. Okay. So now what are these sheep used in terms of production? What are you producing the sheep for? Is it, do you use the wool? Is it meat? Is it cheese, milk? I don't know.
So
my
saying or marketing is we produce food, fiber, and fertilizer. And
okay.
so there's different elements to that. The original business plan and the reason we focused on a purebred flock was going to be the opportunity to sell breeding stock.
Okay.
At the time, it was a hot commodity. There was lots of others trying to get into it. And so from our perspective, it was, let's grow the best flock that we can with the best use for producers to start from, because we had been challenged finding even 50 sheep to get started with.
Okay.
So that was the original intent, and still is there. We're getting to a point now where we can start to look to do that, to offer producers the opportunity to buy, you know, larger groups of animals from one flock and be able to get into it. What we found was, you know, biosecurity and lots of other different things and risks involved in buying sheep and growing the flock.
Yeah.
We got to a point where we said, you know what, we're going to grow from within. And so we've just continued to hold back our own breeding stock and build the flock. So this has been built 100% from that nucleus flock.
Wow.
Yeah, with semen and some other, you know, bringing in other genetics. But we've tried to build with a closed flock to reduce our risk and likelihood of any biosecurity breaches.
What's a biosecurity breach?
Well, I mean, different species have different risks, for sure.
Okay. Oh, like they might be prone to
exactly.
a certain disease or...
Absolutely.
Okay.
So there's many different diseases with sheep that you're, you know, more likely to bring in by bringing, you know, live sheep onto your operation.
Okay.
You know, and then maybe a little bit less so with rams, but almost none with embryos and semen.
So that's
how we've continued to grow. So we haven't offered a lot of breeding stock. We kind of, here and there, we've offered breeding rams and we've offered certain things, but not to the scale we had. So that, to go back to your original question, our main, I guess, source of revenue from the operation is lamb meat.
Okay.
And so that comes in various forms. We've had contracts, you know, through distributors to the Fairmont Group. We've sold direct market to Calgary and locally. And then, of course, having so many lambs now, we've had other avenues like working with a local feedlot who, you know, puts loads together for Ontario. You know, that we've worked with many, many different stakeholders to help, you know, depending on the market, the time
sure.
of year, so on and so forth. But where we're excited is, I sit with Campaign for Wool.
Campaign for Wool. Okay.
So it's an organization. I sit as the Western producer representative, and we see a lot of opportunity to, you know, bring wool back. And so there's some really cool work taking place in that space right now.
Wow.
I also see a huge opportunity on the dairy you had hinted to. So we did bring in embryos about two and a half years ago for East Frisians to try to, you know, shore up that as another iron in the fire.
Okay.
And so we see a really cool opportunity in that space. And then another way we've diversified, you know, I'll say this as a first generation farmer, is diversify or die.
Sure. Yeah.
There's just too many ups and downs for cash flow. And so where we've had a really cool opportunity, and where I saw the writing on the wall about 5 years ago, was, you know, what are other revenue streams? And so we're 2 years into a 3-year contract with Capital Power in Strathmore to provide vegetation management under their solar farm.
Vegetation management, is that a fancy way of saying organic lawnmowers?
That is a fancy way of saying organic lawnmowers.
Wow. So how many sheep do you provide Strathmore to?
So we've got almost all of our ewes on that farm currently, and we rotationally graze them underneath the solar panels.
600.
Correct.
Holy cow. What's the I was going to say square footage. What number of acres or...
So I think that the whole site's about 320, and under panels is about 240 acres.
Wow. Okay. So that's where your sheep are grazing.
Correct.
And, okay, so in terms of that diversify and die, so you've identified this opportunity where you can create a value add for your animals and for the community to keep that area mowed, essentially. Environmentally speaking, you're not mowing with electric mowers or gas mowers. So there's no energy production in that term. In that respect, it's just the animals that they're getting fed. They're keeping a space clean. And now, how do you manage that? So that's off farm, and all of your sheep are kind of like on that grazing land. How do you manage that? How do you keep all your sheep together so they don't
couple
wander
different
off?
Things. So one thing I'd like to add to your last comment, not only are you're offsetting some of the chemical and the mowing and the emissions that could be related to that, but you're also adding fertilizer. So the sheep are not only stirring up the dirt, they're pushing in the seed. You know, we saw a really good establishment in seed on that site, but they're also fertilizing the site. And I fully anticipate, and again, science to prove this, we're going to leave that in a better place than where we began. And that's a philosophy I take, whether I'm hiking or doing anything, is we want to leave it better than where we started.
That's admirable. That's really cool. And now my ignorance here, fertilizer is the poop.
Is the poop and the pee. We're bringing, you know, we have a, in that case, that site has a 3,300 liter tank. And we're filling it every day or two. So it's also, you know, adding that water, that moisture back to the site. I mean, at a small scale, but as we grow the flock, we need more water. There's more water being distributed back to the site that otherwise wouldn't. And that pee and the poop is adding to the nutritional value and building the organic matter. It's sequestering more carbon. Mm-hmm. It's a whole nother story compared to just the simple methodology of mowing and weed whacking.
Right.
On top of which, because of that partnership and because, you know, Capital Power has been amazing to work with, we also had them seed it with a mix that is helpful for our breeding stock, you know, making sure that they come back with a better body score than they go out with. That's an important part of farming. You know, we can't just put them out on just any old grass.
Right.
So
okay.
They helped in a couple local people help develop a seed mix. So, you know, we've got alfalfa, we've got sandfoin, we've got essentially pollinator crops as well, and a diverse mix of grass on that site. So it's not only all these great things that the sheep are doing, it's also added that type of grass. So there's bees just outside the fence there.
Right. Okay.
We've got a lot of native pollinators that we see in our day-to-day interactions with the sheep. It's just such an exciting ecosystem that's being built under those panels.
No kidding. That's fascinating. You know, the one thing that I've learned at AgSmart here, because I'm like you 10 years ago, I'm a non-farmer. And to look at all of the technology and all of the innovation that farmers are doing and food producers are doing, it's inspiring. It's cool. But I'm always asking myself, what role do I play as a consumer? You know, and learning about this. And again, I'm and I don't mind waving the ignorance flag because I have no sense of what's involved. I go to Safeway and pick up my meat and pick up my groceries, right? And then wonder why everything's so expensive or why we're shipping things in from other countries when we produce it here. And just having some insight. So thank you for that. It's fascinating. But in your estimation, when you think about the work you're doing and farmers are doing, what role does the public play in all of that? How can we get more up to speed?
I think it's a willingness to be educated. I mean, you know, you said you came here 10 years ago and you've been willing, you've learned along the way. I mean, I think every industry has a responsibility to educate consumers and have that material available, but it's only as good as the consumer actually wants to absorb it.
Right.
And so I think that's probably the easiest, you know, the easiest answer. I think from the going to Save-On Foods or Safeway, you know, get out in your community. If there's something that you really enjoy, your family really enjoys as a tradition or otherwise, get out there and find a farm. I mean, a lot of farm and ranchers are willing to connect on that level and willing to show you or give you a tour. You know, we had some fantastic stories through the pandemic. As a small startup,
yep,
first generation ranch, we had freezers full of lamb and we were going, holy smokes, this is the end of us.
Right.
But what we saw quickly is a pivot to people wanting and needing to get out and connect. And so, you know, in the story on a Saturday, we had people, you know, not actually lined up, but, you know, at least 6 feet apart. But, you know, jokes aside, we had people coming in and wanting to connect. And then we had, you know, a story of my mom, or Janice tells a great story of a woman that came with her two kids and mm-hmm. was throwing the stick for the dog and just said, like, can I stay? You know, can I just stay in your front yard? And, you know, with the sheep in the background and
right.
everything, and just wanted that, the kids, a place to climb a tree and connect with the land. And we were happy to have that, you know, offer that to them.
That's cool. So tell me, you're doing a little bit of work with the Central Alberta Regional Innovation Network, right?
I think so. That the connection with Lorna is mainly focused with Olds College right now.
Okay.
And where there's a really cool, you know, where we've made some proposals is an opportunity to collaborate on a bunch of different technologies that we're part of.
Mm-hmm.
So again, Whispering Sears Ranch is a beta site for, or not again, I don't think we've talked about this yet, but we're a beta site for One Cup AI, which is represented here for AgSmart. So we're one of their sheep beta sites that's helping, you know, teach Betsy, and we joke Dolly about the different, you know, faces and positions that sheep use that for lambing or
right.
for being sick
yeah.
or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
So we're part of that. And then trying to coordinate that with other things like the solar site and being able to have almost a virtual shepherd in such a tight labor market and being spread out, like you said, we've got the home ranch, we've got the solar site, we work off farm, like trying to connect all those pieces together. And then, you know, something we've seen is a lot of producers have a challenge with grazing, you know, providing shade while grazing. So we're the partnership or the collaboration we're looking is to connect all those dots and build something for producers that can do all of the above, check
right.
all the boxes.
Holy man, that's really cool. And just for those of you who are unaware, One Cup AI is a Canadian company.
Canadian company, yeah. They're
yeah.
based in Vancouver.
Right, based in Vancouver, got offices all over, but they're using artificial intelligence. And as you've alluded to there, that AI can, with a camera, can see faces, see the sheep faces, and body positioning, and determine a number of different things from what is appearing there in that camera.
Exactly.
So rather than having you as the farmer going out and looking at 600 of your sheep and determining which one, you know, maybe in heat, maybe in pain, this technology will help with that.
And to me, it's a game changer. I mean, when we talk about 600 sheep, you know, we're not, a lot of people get their hackles up and sensitive, you know, you can never replace a shepherd. Okay. To a degree, I think shepherds are extremely important, and,
okay.
and we're always going to have that. We're always going to have that connection with our animals. But think of this as a 24/7 shepherd. Sheep are a fight or flight animal. So if I walk by a pen 3 times a day and I'm checking on them because I care about them, they are going to show up in the best way they can because they feel at risk. Whereas the cameras are overlooking all these pens and it's seeing them in their natural state with no threat.
Right.
And
they're innocuous. And
exactly.
Sure. Okay.
And sheep are famous for that. Like, you know, like anything that you hunt, deer, elk, whatever the case may be, they're a fight or flight animal. They're at high alert when there's a human or a dog or a predator nearby. That's just naturally how they are. So what I love about One Cup AI is using visual artificial intelligence is it's an extra set of eyes on my animals 24/7 to catch things that I may miss or that aren't presented when I walk by a pen or look at my animals.
Right. That's a great point. And I got to tell you, I didn't realize that shepherds were still a thing. And I apologize to any shepherds that may be listening. Now, if people wanted to learn more about what you and your wife are doing in the farm, where can they go?
Probably the best bet is just to go to our website. So the short link is wcranch.ca.
WCRanch.ca.
Correct. That would be shorter, WhisperingSearsRanch.com. Okay. And that's kind of gives a bit of a lay of the land of all the different things that we're involved in and a lot of the irons in the fire. And then I'm happy to connect with anyone on any of what we've discussed and continue to be an advocate for the industry, not just the sheep industry, but the solar industry and others. I think it takes a village, and we've certainly been fortunate enough for relationships like Capital Power and Olds College to move some of this along.
Right on. This is great. And look forward to connecting with you again and learning more about what you guys are doing.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your time. Shift can be found online at shift.albertainnovates.ca or on any one of the streaming sites and services, whichever is your favorite, we're there. I'm John Hagen. On behalf of everyone here, thank you very much. Have a great day. Until next time.